Hallelujah.
Blog Talk Radio.
Monday, Blog Radio listeners, thank you for tuning in to Mornings at the Mansion on the Blog Radio station, myblogradio.com. Thank you for tuning in. It's the Men's Edition Monday morning on Monday, January 20th, 2020.
Morning, Blog Radio.
Bring it in. Come on now. All right, we got to recognize our Blog Radio listeners, and I want to let everyone know that we are, you know, we do have a Blog Radio station, and we're going to start putting the link on you know, Facebook as well as that. We also, we have YouTube channels as well now. So we're opening up to different venues and areas. So, you know, we're going to put our eggs all in one basket, you know. But thank you for tuning in with us this morning, Blog Radio listeners. We thank you for tuning in, and check us out on Facebook, too, and YouTube. So here we are. Good morning, Pastor Bobby.
Good morning.
Hallelujah. Woo! Man, I'm trying to wake up, but I'm already awake now. But hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Yeah, good morning, Daniel, Mateo, Lorenzo. Thank you for tuning in. Good morning, Al Marie, Schaefer, Pastor Malone's page. Good morning. We're blessed to be here. We're thankful for our studio audience of Pastor Malone and also Laura Kelly. Yeah, that's right. So we're here. And we just want to say thank you for the harvest. We got peanuts. See that?
They're actually pecans.
You may not be able to see this on the Blog Radio, but that's a bag full of pecans, pecans, as they say where I come from. So we're blessed to be here. And, you know, give what you got. You don't hold back. That's all it is, you know. That's what you need to know. And, but yeah, we got an interesting topic this morning, Bobby. I'm excited because it's something, you know, a little bit different. What we've been doing, but yeah, why don't you want to speak on it?
The topic this morning, the title is called The 5 R's of Redemption.
Oh, yeah.
And, Lord gave it to me out of John 3:16. Mm-hmm. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And there's 4 R's in that scripture. There's a reason, a ransom, a response, and the reward. And then the 5th R, we'll get to that later.
All right, yeah.
But that's what we're talking about today, the 5 R's of redemption. And I read a definition of redemption out of the Strong's Concordance and really hit me. Redemption is a releasing affected by payment of ransom.
Well, good.
And we're bought back. We're released. What are we released from? We're released from bondage. When we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, he releases us from the bondage of the enemy. And so that's what redemption is, a releasing effected by payment of ransom. Hallelujah.
Yeah, and I want to encourage everyone call in. Our line is 646-668-2247. You call in on the Blog Radio. You call in on our Facebook, but that's the number. You'll get on it. And if you have any questions, something pertaining to the topic today, any questions, you can also type it into your box, you know, your message box or chat box, whatever, on Facebook. If you're watching us live on Facebook, but Blog Radio, call in 646-668-2247. Thank you for being with us. So, yeah, and again, Pastor Bobby, this is a great topic. And again, you know, it's, you know, 5 R's, and we're going to cover it in an hour. But what we're going to touch on is a lifetime of understanding and learning for Christians, you know. I mean, and again, we're talking about, redemption, man. Redemption is a very, it's powerful, and it's something we all need to understand.
Yeah, redemption is what it is. It's God's plan of redemption to bring his creation, which is us, mankind,
yes,
back into relationship with him.
Yeah.
That's what redemption is all about. It's his plan, and I'm telling you, it's a perfect plan.
Yeah, and I know you mentioned what redemption, the definition is, but here it says, in the Webster says, free from consequence of sin to repair and restore is one. And then here's another, when I looked up, redeem, to compensate for the fault or bad aspect of something, to gain or regain possession of something in exchange for payment or clearing a debt. That sounds like,
yeah.
Jesus on the cross, yeah.
Really, you know, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That as well. He bought us back. You know, it's almost like we were kidnapped. And So we were kidnapped, and God's plan of redemption was to buy us back and to deliver us from the clutches of the enemy and to live back in a relationship with Him.
Yeah. All right. And I want to talk about also here, we're at the studios, the mansion, we're live, the second floor, downstairs, the full service salon, and also we have the House of Glory, we're just going to buzz it in, okay, buzz it in, Hallelujah, House of Glory, okay, Desimolo, Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. We also want to plug in Pastor Bobby, as well as I, we're involved in prison ministry, which is Pure and Undefiled Prison Ministry. Out to any of these things you hear on our shows, whether it be blog or Facebook Live or even on our YouTube page, you can personal message us. Even on YouTube, there's a way to contact us through Facebook also. It's connected. So you can contact us if you have any interest in any of these ministries, all right? So, if you want to get plugged in, get involved, then you can check it out. Even if you want to sow a seed, okay? Just think about it, all right? And we don't usually ask for that. We'll talk about this. So let's get into it, Bobby. I want to Ephesians. Let's pray. Father in heaven, holy is your name, Lord, and we thank you today, Lord, for this, you put breath in our lungs. We're still alive, and we not got another day to get it right, serve you, Lord. We pray, Lord, for the people watching today, their hearts will be open, Lord. Let's till their hearts. Let it be fertile ground. Let these seeds fall upon fertile ground and come and produce an abundant harvest, Lord. Allow us to come to know you better, Lord. And let peace and grace be multiplied onto everyone watching and listening today. We praise you, Lord, and we pray in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on. If you're out there and you really want to study this and get on the meat of the word, you've already had the milk of the word, you want the meat of the word, get your Bibles out. Get you a notepad and a pen and take notes and really get this in you. Let this spiritual food nourish you. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 7. The Bible says, in Him, talking about Jesus Christ, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. We're talking about God's plan of redemption, and that it says right here that it's a mystery that He made known to us. And then God's plan of redemption is a mystery until one turns to the Lord and that veil is taken away in Christ Jesus. And the mystery is not a mystery anymore when you understand that God's love is what caused this plan of redemption to get His children back from the bondage of captivity. What the redemption is. And we're talking about the five R's of redemption. And in John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, because He sent His only Son. And there's four R's in that one right there. The reason is God's love. The ransom is Jesus Christ, His only Son. And the response is whoever believes. And the reward is eternal
life.
And that's what we're talking about today.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, it's just God's love. The Bible says that faith works by love, and that means that faith works by knowing how much God loves us. When we know how much God loves us, then we can trust Him, and when we trust Him, that is what faith is. Amen.
Well, hallelujah. There you go. All right. So there it is, and we're covering the R's, and again, His love. We know that, right? Because it was our reason, but here it is. What in Ephesians it tells us, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins. That's wonderful. But it's more than forgiving our sins and going to heaven. It's about a relationship. Jesus died not to just pay the price. You know what I mean? He wants to pay the price to be a part of our life. And that's the most critical part. So we need to invite Him in. All right? And here it is. You know, and what He's done, the redemption is, you know, we lost it in the garden, the first Adam. But Jesus came as the second Adam, and He redeemed us. Okay? By faith, we receive this redemption, and we walk it out. Okay, but we have to start somewhere, and it's critical. It's very critical. For God so loved the world, all right? All right, so again, I'm still, you know, amazed with all this, but for God so loved the world, what he done. We know what he done. It wasn't a dozen roses or a Christmas card, all right? He didn't send us a Walmart gift card. He sent his son, his only son, to die. All right, so we need to come and comprehend that. Comprehend that in your mind. How God's love. I'm still amazed by it. Again, and I ask people, I challenge you just to sit for a moment. Take 30 seconds or even 60 seconds of your day and contemplate in your mind how God so loved the world. And think about that. Think about something you care for. So loving. I mean, some people love their dog. I don't have a child. But guess what? It doesn't matter. You know, I wouldn't even give my hamster or my pet turtle for somebody next door that done me wrong and dirty. And that's what people were doing. They were doing God dirty. But he still sent his son. And here's what it says in Romans. You ready to go on Romans?
Yes, sir.
All right, because here's what it is.
The reason.
Yeah. So check this out. Well, he's so loved for the world, right? Yeah. And this is going to back it up here. You see, just at the right time, Romans 5, verse 6. Just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. Back in the day, you know, they would do it for the nobles. But God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Every time I hear that, I'm still trying to figure it all out. Because we were still sinners, ungodly. So since now, we've been justified or redeemed by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
Hallelujah.
Here it is, man. While we were powerless. See, here it is, God's grace. First came his mercy, because he came and gave us mercy, because we were powerless. We could do nothing. We were bound to sin. So he demonstrated his love by his actions, sending Christ. It's inconceivable, unprecedented, to realize the greatness of this act, all right? We could easily just say, hey, you know, those guys are sinning anyway. Believe me, easily. He flooded the world once, but he said he wouldn't do it again. Now he had to come up with a different plan.
Yeah, so his plan of redemption and the reason for his plan was because he so loves his creation, which is people. And it's just, it amazes me, like you were saying, how while we were still enemies of God, his love for us was so strong, and just, you know, his love for us is why he did it, and that's the reason he did it. And, you know, I was reading where it says that reconciliation, that word means atonement, and that's a restoration of divine favor. And God, and it's a satisfaction as well, that when Jesus died for us, it satisfied the wrath of God for whoever receives him. And I'm telling you, that is the love that we, agape, it's an unconditional love that God loved us so much that God actually came to earth as a man and died. While we were
still sinning, and
that is just so amazing.
Again,
the love.
Here's the thing. So, again, God is love. He's the source of all earthly, worldly love. It comes from heaven. So our love just gets in the way, what we think is love. But see, we need to let God flow through us, and that's the important thing. And God knew that we had no power. See, yet, we were still powerless. So God knew we had no power over sin. So God knew, and Jesus knew, they're not sitting up there clueless. They knew that we needed a Savior, and there was no way of us breaking free because we were powerless. So he had so much mercy. He loved us so much. He had such mercy for us by sending his son so we can receive grace. We need a Savior who sent to this world to give us an opportunity to receive or break away from the world system. The world system was so wicked. It had us in. There was nothing we couldn't get away from. We could not stop sinning until Christ came. Now we have the exousia. Exousia is the right or the power through God to break away from sin. So we need to know that, and only the blood could reconcile us back to God. See, because in the old days, right?
Yeah, the plan of God was, you see, in the old covenant, they had to sacrifice bulls and goats, but they had to do it over and over and over. But Jesus Christ, the blood of the perfect Lamb of God, has redeemed us from all the curse of the law.
Yes.
And when we receive that free gift, it gives us the power over sin. Grace, we're saved by grace through faith, but after we're saved, that grace is an empowerment over sin. We don't have to live in that bondage anymore because he paid the price.
Yeah, we just have to walk it out. And I don't want to jump in. Ours, right? We'll get to receiving soon. But here's the thing. If God sent his only son to die for us, yet we were still sinners, right? He showed his love, his grace, and his mercy. Think about it. When we found Good Morning Amanda Fuller, Tennessee in the hat.
Good Morning Amanda.
You got a Tennessee girl. Yeah. You got someone tuned in from Tennessee. But anyway, so if God so loved the world, when we were sinners, hourly, he sent the son to die. Imagine now when we receive it and we turn our face back to him and recognize him as the God, our Savior. How much more can he do for us through a submitted heart and walking in his ways?
Yeah, the Bible says that if he did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how much more will he give us all faith?
Yeah, exactly. And while we were still sinners, man, he still loved us. And he reconciled us to each other. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? So how much more through his life, us living for him, okay? Living in us, through us. We're hidden in him. How much more could God do with us, you know? So we need to consider that. Consider that, the reason. God sent his only son because he loved us. Now, the reason, let's go figure it out and try to turn back to the Lord and let him cut the dead branches, right? Prune us. Yeah, trim the fat, cut the branches. Let him show us the things that are not profitable in our lives. He's the gardener, so let it be. Don't you understand? Jesus Christ paid for us. We belong to him. And once you come to understand that, your life gets a lot easier. You become very fruitful, and you become very grateful, right?
Yeah.
Grateful, because he loved the sacrifice. He loved that sacrifice of gratitude. That's the one that pleases him, the grateful heart. Okay,
yeah.
Psalms 50 and 51, some of those, you'll see the grateful heart. He don't want you to. But anything, you bring your heart first and let him work on it.
Yeah,
Romans
12.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a reasonable service.
You better believe it.
For what Jesus did for us, it's only logical for us to serve him.
It's reasonable, and the Bible does say this, but I say I believe it's bare minimum. You know what I mean? It's reasonable.
Yeah,
reasonable. Don't be, super Christian, run around with a cape and a box of sandwiches. Get real about it.
Yeah.
But get yourself right first. See, the first thing God wants from us, the first sacrifice is us living sacrifice. He wants our heart. See, when we come to the altar, bring your heart. Place your heart. Don't be like, oh, well, God, here's my money. Here's my time. Here's my wisdom. You know, here's my sweat, blood, and tears. You don't need that. Jesus already done that. He needs your heart. He wants you. Our first mission in life, and our purpose here is to be conformed to the image of the living God, Jesus Christ, right? And as well as that, the Father. So we have to know our heart is right before we try anything else. So then get there. Let's be conscious of what God's trying to do in our lives. Yeah. Come on.
All right, so we're going to go to the second R. The first R was the reason. The reason was for God so loved the world. The second R is the ransom. And the ransom is his only begotten Son.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, it's like I was saying before, we were kidnapped, basically, by the enemy. And the word ransom means to free from captivity or punishment by paying a price. So we're going to go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 44. This is Jesus talking. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. The people that killed Jesus, they did not really kill him. Jesus gave his life. He laid his life down. They didn't kill him. He laid his life down as a ransom for many.
Yes,
and that ransom for many is whoever will receive him. He took our punishment. He paid the price and bought us back with his own blood, with his own precious blood. In the old covenant, they had the blood of bulls and goats, but he bought us back with the precious blood of the spotless Lamb of God. Amen.
So, here it is, real simple. With this verse here, the ransom. What's a ransom? It's a value, right? There's a value to it. And you're only going to pay what something's worth, right? Value. So price equals the value. So Jesus, the price he paid with his precious blood, that goes to show you how valuable we are to God. You may not think this right now. You might, be contemplating, things in your mind and you're not feeling it. But I'm going to tell you right now, it don't matter what you feel like. You don't operate on feelings. You operate in faith. And I'm here to tell you today that Christ paid a valuable price for all of us. It don't matter who you are. I don't care what you've been through. So recognize it. Recognize the value because Christ died for me, for Bobby, for every one of us, and all of us together as one. And we are the church. So Christ is, we need to recognize the value because without understanding how much we are in Christ, we're in trouble.
And I love that what you're talking about the value because it's so important, because the value is the price determined for what something is paid. And what was paid for, God so loved the world, what was paid for the world, and whosoever, what was paid for whosoever was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. There is no higher price. So that's what your value is. That's what my value is. And when we realize that, like I said, faith works by love. When you realize the value that God put on you, the price of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you realize your value, and then you can walk in that.
Right.
Man, it's just amazing.
Wow. You don't even recognize it. You don't understand how much the value of Jesus Christ's blood is. There's an issue there. You have to really understand it. Because you're never going to get off of out of the batter's box, let alone first base. You need to know where we are. God gave us a purpose. And that blood redeemed us, redeemed you, redeemed everyone watching. So we need to know that God has a plan, okay? Because the plan was send his son, right? So don't you think once that was completed, because he said it is finished. Once that was completed, now it opens a different door where now we're walking in grace. And unless you recognize your value, you're not going to walk out for the fullness of the grace God has given to you. So Jesus was the perfect sacrifice.
That's why we can get rid of the saying that I'm an old sinner saved by grace. Because once you're saved by grace, your value, you have to realize your value. You're now a saint. The Bible says that he came to restore us back to the Father that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So now you're righteous. You're no longer an old sinner saved by grace. Once you're saved by grace.
I mean, I don't know. I'm going to say we can only be saved once. I don't know. I mean, some people come 5-6 times and been saved. I'm going to say we get one initial saving, right? And then we maybe slip back or fall back. But either way, I'm not going to get into the theology of it all. But the fact is, we're saved by grace through faith. We'll overcome. Come with to God with that godly sorrow. The sorrow is designed to take us away from sin and just be grateful. And God can come in, start trimming, right? We let God into the garden. He's going to do some weeding and trim work. But the problem is that until we come to him, he's on the other side of the fence. We're not letting him in. So we need to receive him and bring him in. So the ransom part, what he in Matthew says, he took a cup of wine, gave thanks for it. He gave to them and said, each of you drink from it. For this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. So here it is. That's the covenant. See, God had the plan. The covenant is an agreement, and it's binding, okay? So, again, it's God's word. He sent his son. So keep in mind how important your word is. When you say, I give you my word, you better know that it's bankable in the eyes of God. Because God said, I give you my word. And who is the word? Jesus Christ, sent to die on the cross. His word was nailed to the cross. His covenant is promised. His blood was shed for our redemption. We need to rejoice and be happy in it and have an attitude of gratitude and walk it out. We got to just stop saying, God, I'll check you out next week. I got a party to go to this Friday. I'll think about you on Monday. Come on, enough's enough. Jesus don't want that. Jesus didn't say, well, Lord, give me one more Passover before I get nailed to the cross. I like that cracker and that wine. No, Jesus said, it's my time. The Son of Man, it's time. I must go. Okay? And he said, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus had such gratitude. He said he had that last cup of wine, and he said, the next time I drink wine, it's going to be when we're all sitting in heaven together at the Feast of the Lamb. Jesus loves us, man. He proved it. Come on. Dying. Man, woo. If he died for us, shouldn't we live for him? Come on, brothers.
Yeah, and that's part of the redemption plan of God as well. Is the plan was that once we're born again, we're now part of the plan. We're now ambassadors for Christ. Now to walk out and be his hands and feet.
You better believe that.
And so Jesus, he ascended to the right hand of the Father. So he left the power with us to keep the plan going. Because until that last sinner repents and turns to the Lord, we're here on this earth. When that last one, God's all knowing. He knows the beginning from the end. And when that last sinner says yes, we're out of here. So, it's like Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, because night is coming and no man can work. When that last sinner repents, it's too late.
Man.
You have to realize, I love what the pastor said one time, is your pillow wet? I mean, do you really have compassion for the lost? I mean, that's what it's all about. We are to be his hands and feet on this earth as ambassadors of Christ.
Man. He gave up his hands and feet, so we got to take over now. He said he's given us greater work to do. It's not that we're going to be greater than Jesus. He's given us, and that's what he means by the greater work to believe. And he's got stuff that he's already predestined for us. We know that. It tells us in Ephesians, 2nd chapter, verse 10. So we need to know God's got something. I don't care who you are. If you turned around and even let God in, open your blinds, just let him in just a little, he's got something. That's the beginning. Keep watering that seed. God wants to grow it. And we're ready for the response, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, good. Is it I'm reading this?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good idea. All right. Well, hold on. Time out. We're going to take a quick commercial break, all right? We're going to recognize our blog radio listeners. Thanks for listening so far.
Blog radio. The Jewel of Pantego, also known as the Mansions on Park Road. They have everything.
Right, so we're going to remind you that we're in the Mansions.
Everything. Hairstylist, beauty and skincare specialist, massage therapist, fitness, and even a clothing and bridal boutique that has its own fashion designer and stylist. That's right. At the Mansions on Park Road, you'll find all that you need to look and feel the very best. Located at 2700 West Park Road Drive in Pantego, Texas. Come by and get pampered from head to toe. You've earned it.
But more importantly, it's a godly atmosphere.
All right.
And God is trying to lift up godly businesses.
Lady,
and
I'm going to let you in on a little secret. It's called the Jewel of Pantego, also known as the Mansions on Park Road. They have everything. Yes, everything. Hairstylist, beauty and skincare specialist, massage therapist, fitness, and even a clothing and bridal boutique that has its own fashion designer and stylist. That's right, at the Mansions on Park Road, you'll find all that you need to look and feel your very best. Located at 2700 West Park Road Drive in Pantego, Texas. Come by and get pampered from head to toe. You've earned it.
Sunday morning, y'all come join us.
You can get a massage here too, and what's that, aromatherapy?
Yeah.
There goes another one. Yeah, come and get it. Come on. And there's plenty of people here that have natural herbs. Not necessarily CBD, but just some holistic. Yeah. Holy issue. Come on now, bring it.
We were just talking about how with the hands and feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
We're talking about these Christian businesses, here at the mansion, and the Bible says that He gives us the power to create wealth, to establish His covenant.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. So I mean, that's what it's all about. Y'all come and support the ministry.
Yeah.
It's a business, but it's also a ministry. Yeah,
you know,
you won't hear gossip, you'll hear about Jesus Christ.
And I'm a firm believer in God's going to bless the work of our hands. I stand on that promise because I can't stand on the other 2,000 and not this one. He's going to give us the wisdom to create the wealth. Don't you understand? The Christian community, and I pray that everyone receives this, because enough's enough with standing around with a sign or a cup or a Facebook post. God will give us the wisdom. So ask Him. Say, Lord, I'm tired of putting up a Facebook post or GoFundMe page. I want to make a difference. So show me, Lord. Because here's the thing. There's 1,000,001 charities. And they're all good, I'm sure. Every last one of them. And they all deserve to be blessed, right? But, again, you have to put your seed in fertile ground. We know that. Okay? So know that. Just giving money doesn't... No. It has to be in the fertile ground. And just know that it has to be something that God has called that person or that group to be involved in. Because then you'll see abundance. And that's all I can say. I'm not here to point a finger. I'm here to just, teach about it and encourage. So get involved in Christian opportunities. Rather than give somebody a $50 donation, I'd rather spend $100 on a CD set. You know what I mean? Or, you know what I'm saying? Something to get back. I don't know. That's me sometimes. But there's also times you just want to give. Guys, it just did. So just be mindful. Just be mindful of this all. Yeah. I believe in it. And God puts stuff on my heart too. So yeah, just pray to God. He'll show you a plan. He wants to give you a lot of things, but we're not looking. He told Moses how to build that, exactly how to do everything with the shrines and the garments that they wore, the priests and whatnot. He told Noah exactly how to build the ark. He'll give you detailed plans, and then he'll give you the power and the support to make them come through faith. So praise the Lord for his goodness. We're back off the commercial, I think. You sure? Pure and Undefiled Prison Ministry, look us up. And let us know. We have an outreach also. If you're interested in going out, knocking on doors, or just talking to people, Walmart park lot, there's available opportunities for that. Nursing home ministry is also available, right?
And yeah.
Think about all these things. God, tell Bobby.
Yeah.
The,
he wants us to be involved. And, you're talking about in Ephesians where it says that we're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. But it goes on to say that we're saved for good works, that God created the foundation of the world. He created good works for each one of us that we may walk in them. So you can't walk without taking a step. So y'all come on and take some steps with us.
You can sit around and cry, and God will put you in the playpen on timeout. We need to have a grateful heart. Let's have a grateful heart. I'm here to be just here, but grateful heart. God loves a cheerful giver. And it's not always putting money out of your pocket. Cheerful giver, giving you time, your effort, giving you your love.
When the Christian walk is not a spectator.
Come on now.
We've got to get out of the sand and get on the field.
Some of us got sprinkles in our butts. We need to get up and go out. All right? We need to get up and let God come out now. And so here it is. Praise the Lord. And be thankful of all the things. Remember what we're talking about also. We're talking about redemption, with God. And it's critical that we understand this. And I guess we're going to go into response, right?
Yeah, we talked about the reason, which is God's love. We talked about the reaction.
Yeah, that's
Jesus Christ. And we talked about the response.
All right, here it is. And then this is time to sit down and buckle in, because the response is important. All right, so Mark 1, it tells us, later on after John was arrested, Jesus went to Galilee, where he preached God's good news. Woo! God's good news, but we get to partake in it. All right. So the time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is here. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. So if you watch our show the last couple of weeks, or if you've been in the prison with us preaching, I've been talking about repentance since last week and all the way until now. But here it is. Jesus Christ said repent. And I'm not cussing at you. I'm not going, repent. No, Jesus didn't say that. He said repent. Change your mind. Change your heart. Change your opinion. First, change your mind. Believe. Receive belief. Change your mind. And God will change your heart. He'll give you new desires. So repent of your sins and believe. The good news. I watched an old Billy Graham the other day. Man, I love it. Billy Graham. He was in the stadium. The place was packed like a football, playoff game yesterday. Yeah. And he's up there. He was, man, there was no, he didn't try to bring a joke. He didn't have even a smile on his face. When he spoke this message, it was a half-hour altar call. When he spoke this message, it was just serious, a heart attack. He was like, he wasn't there to tickle no ears. He was there. He had the axe. He tried to give you the word. He was there. And he said, repent of your sins, right? Repent of your sins. That's the first thing he said. Then believe. Believe in your heart that he is Lord. Then change your ways and walk it out. So when we repent of our sins, we change our opinion, we believe in our heart. We can't believe in something and not take action on it, all right? So the one day as Jesus was walking about the shore of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net in the water. So they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. You see from 1:14-18, Mark, how it says, repent of your sins, believe the good news, and follow me. Billy Graham said it, textbook. When he said, he didn't read the scripture, he said just like that. Repent your sins, okay, believe, receive, and then follow, okay? That's the A, B, and C to...
Yeah, I mean, I love what it says. Yeah. In the New King James says, follow me. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.
Yeah.
And it says they immediately left their nets and followed him. That word believe means to be committed to and to follow. So Jesus said, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men.
Yeah.
And I heard this saying one time, if you're not fishing, you're not following. So really understand this. If you're not fishing, you're not following. Jesus said, if you follow me, so if you're following Jesus, he's going to make you become fishers of men.
Yeah.
So if you're following him, you're going to turn into a soul winner. That's what Jesus is saying right there. So understand this, if you're not fishing, you're not following.
Amen.
It's that simple.
A lot of people out there watching right now love fishing. It's a holiday. I don't know what holiday it is. It's
holiday
today. Oh, Martin Luther King, yeah. All right, so Martin Luther King Day. I know it's a holiday because I saw kids playing in the street, okay,
yeah,
in their shorts this morning and their underwear. So I saw it must be a holiday. Yeah. So here it is. All right, you know what? Every day's a holiday. If we believe in Jesus, we celebrate his love for us. We celebrate that we've been redeemed.
Can I say something about I didn't know his
I'm
telling you, you get a chance to go back and listen to some of the sermons that that man preached. I'm telling you, it is the fire of God. I'm telling you that he preached the truth.
Well, here's the thing. You need to know. Come follow me. So repent of your sins, believe, and then act on it, right? So it's real simple. And we need to know to repent of our sins. Repent is a freedom. It's like, man, it's freedom. It's like, it's freedom. Let's just say that. It's liberty. It's freedom. To repent, to be out of bondage.
Yeah, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, mm-hmm. as you repent, then you change your mind to the purpose for the things of this world, for the things of God, and then you're committed to following Jesus Christ. And it's like Jesus said, he's the one who will make you become fishers of men.
Man.
We can't do it, but his spirit living in us will cause us to walk in his ways, and his ways was salvation, his plan of redemption. That's what we're walking in his way.
Here's the thing, man. To follow Jesus is a great honor. Okay? It's a great honor. It's the purpose. Your purpose is found following you. So I don't know. Follow Jesus Christ.
And when you realize the love, we talked about the love. The first R was the reason for the love. When you realize God's love for you, it's not a have to, it's a get to. So you get to follow.
I mean, look, you're following someone, right? You're following the Yankees or the Rangers. You're following Tennessee Titans or San Francisco 49ers. You're following Jason Garrett all the way to New York City now. He's the giant offensive coordinator, praise the Lord. Yeah. All right, so here it is. You're going to follow something. Let's figure this out. You think you're going to be on your own? I thought I was on my own. I thought that I didn't serve God or the devil. I serve myself. But guess what? That's the devil's deception. There's one
Jesus
or two. You're either being blessed or you're being cursed. You're either walking in life. Well, you're walking in death. You know what I mean? It's that simple. There's no third. We're not even in sin. So I thought there was a third, but that's the devil's deception. So let's understand this. You're either serving God, right? Or you're serving the Father, the devil.
Yeah. And even in the Old Covenant, God said, Jesus begging you to serve. And he says that there's life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. He even gives us the answer.
I mean, open book test, right? Think about this. God made it so easy for us. We're the ones that make it difficult. We try to add our own reasoning on it. We try to give our own terms. There's no terms, negotiation of terms. Okay? Well, I praise God. God, if you need this, give me this, this, and this, and I'll do this. Go ahead. You can pray those prayers. I'm going to tell you, I'm here to say that there's no negotiating with God. It's God. He's God. All right? And let me tell you something. Do you think God don't know what you need? You don't think that God understands? He knows.
He's our creator.
Man, come on now. And we come to his total submission. I'm not saying by no means that God doesn't bless us. He gives us the desires of our heart. And he does want to see us prosper in many ways. But, man, we don't sit around and negotiate the terms of our salvation. God already done it to you. I'm going to move on because here it is. It's important to know God needs us to move the heart. And he wants children that are grateful, regardless,
right.
He'll give you, the walnuts or the pecans, but man, and then if you handle these pecans with care, he'll give you the whole pecan farm. And then he'll give you many people working with you, blessings. See, God will not bless you to bless you. A lot of times we're praying, God, if you give me this, this, and this, and I'll do this, we're asking for personal blessings. Not considering the overflow factor that God always puts into it. He blesses us to bless others. He ain't going to give you, he'll bless you to keep you alive, but he wants to bless you abundantly to go overflowing.
Yeah, and Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and
your
righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When you become a Christian, when you make that response of believing and being committed to Jesus Christ and to follow Jesus Christ, you don't go from the low, you don't go from the high to a high life to a low life. Your inability goes to ability because he gives us all things. When we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, he gives us all things. He adds it all to us. So you're not going to go without.
God.
And it's like you said, he wants what's best for us and knows what's best for us, and he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can even think or imagine. And it's the power that works in us that he gives us, his spirit that works in us. And when God, it's like a manufacturer. If you buy a new car, you get an owner's manual. And the one who created that car tells you how to operate that car, how to take care of that car. It's the same thing with the Lord. He created us. He knows how we operate, and he knows how that we can operate to the highest level. And the Word of God, Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And the Word of God, I'm telling you, is our owner's manual.
Right.
It will teach us.
It is. I'm going to just cover this real quick and move on to the next one. But the response, as far as the response in Matthew 16, it tells us, Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way and take up the cross and follow me. See, it wasn't an option. It wasn't a suggestion. You must give up your own way. That's the problem. Jesus came to pry us off of our wretched hands, off the world system, get it out of our heart. Don't you realize the world system? Our ways will lead us back to the world system. God came, sent his son. So we give up our ways. So here's what it says. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what is the benefit if you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? See, Jesus paid for your soul. This world system designed, and in this modern age of the new millennium, it's even worse. Think about 100 years ago. There's way more sin available to us and many more options to be conformed to this system. So look, there's nothing worth more than your soul. Give up our own ways, follow the ways of Jesus, and then we're gonna, our soul will be safe in the end.
Yeah, and what the deal is, it's a hard issue because when we understand that when we give up our own ways, one translation says deny yourself.
Yeah.
When we deny ourselves, ways. That's a way of humbling yourself. The Bible says if you humble yourself under God's mighty hand, he will exalt in due time. So you're not giving up. You're not giving up a great life to get a low life. I'm telling you, when you deny yourself, when you realize that your ways are not going to give you peace, joy, love, patience, all these things that are fruits of the Spirit, kindness. Yeah.
Come on.
When you're doing it your own way, it's the selfishness that happened in the Garden of Eden. But when you turn to the Lord, that veil is taken away, so you're not blinded by the enemy anymore. The veil's taken away in Christ Jesus, and you realize that you do it his way, and you're going to have an abundant life. Jesus said, I came to give you life abundantly. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So when you realize that, then you understand that you deny your own way and do it God's way,
and when you
humble yourself like that, he will exalt you.
And that's what I was talking about a little bit earlier when I said you can't negotiate with God. But when we start trying to put our fingerprints on his plan, it sort of slows us down. And it definitely hinders what God's trying to do in us. The repentant, open heart, the gratitude, the thankfulness, and all of that, God comes in. And man, he just, like those scrubbing bubbles in the commercial. He comes in, he cleans it all out. He makes us whole, complete, holy, and righteous in his sight. So we need to understand that. We're up to, you want to read on what is this? What is this? The reward, right?
Yes. Okay, so we've touched on the reason, which is God's love, the ransom, which is Jesus Christ, the response, whoever believes, whoever is committed to and follows Jesus Christ, and now we're at the reward. Hallelujah. The reward is eternal life.
Yeah.
Whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now we're going to go to John 17. John 17, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. And as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And get this. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Understand this. Eternal life starts when you're born again.
Yeah.
That's when eternal life starts. And it's to know the Father. It's to know the love of God. The love of God, that he loved us so much that he became a man and died for us. And that's what eternal life is in
Jesus.
You know, in John 14, the disciples were talking to Jesus about this. And, you know, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. It's sufficient for us. But Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is God in the flesh.
Amen.
He came as a man, humbled himself and became a man to die on the cross for us. And that's how we can know the Father through Jesus Christ. You know, he said before that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so that's the truth of it right there.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ is the only way.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only way. There's not much room for negotiation, right? But we need to know. We need to follow Christ. You know, what that last verse I read earlier in Matthew 16, is anything worth more than your soul? We need to give up our ways because God gave up his way. See, this he proved to us, and it comes by faith, of course, but he proved to us how this life doesn't really matter. It takes us. It don't even take a close second to the eternity before us. When we believe, so we need to set our scopes on heavenly things, not the worldly things. God will give us things to get through this world. But guess what? Worldly gains, streets of gold, mansions, you know, I don't know. I can't, cause just like his love, how can we fathom in our mind what truly heaven is like? But I know one thing. It's a lot greater than it is here. And that's all I need to know. All right? So that's what we're waiting for, was to be reconciled onto God, to be in the same place with Jesus and God, is to have communication and communion with them. Jesus said, I will share my throne with you. It says in 3:21 Revelation. So think about that. So we have to love God because he loved us first. We need to have faith. The faith. And here it is. The way to have eternal life is to know you. It doesn't say a prayer. It doesn't say read a Bible. Don't hand out a sandwich. It doesn't say any of that. It says to know him. The way to have eternal life is to know you. Don't you realize how critical it is? You might have a t-shirt and a bumper sticker and going to church every Sunday. You might be serving in the nursing homes, in the prison. You could be giving out sandwiches to the homeless. Guess what? Do you know him? Because it tells us in Matthew 7, verse 20, 21, 22. But Lord, I've done this in your name. Done it all, Lord. But I don't know you. So dig, and this is a warning to all out there. It's more than a duty or responsibility. It's a relationship, which will lead to everything else. In Jesus' name.
No, and another thing about eternal life, in Romans chapter 5, the Bible says, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, talking about Adam, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's obedience, many were made sinners, also by one man, Jesus Christ's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign from righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that eternal life is the reward. Jesus paid the price. A reward is something, it's really something that you earn, but Jesus Christ paid for it. He paid the price for that reward, but we have to receive it. And that word receive is the fifth R of redemption, and it's so important. You have to receive it. You know, I was thinking about this morning, how we have participation trophies now, where you go out and all you do is to get a trophy just for participating.
Right, yeah, all right.
But the good thing is, in this, it is participation. All you have to do is receive it. And you don't earn it. You don't earn salvation. You just receive it. And when you receive it, in John 1, the Bible says that Jesus came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But to them that received him, like you're talking about, he gives them the right, the exousia, the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God, not born of the flesh, not born of man, but born of God. Amen. But you have to receive it. There are people that are not going to receive it.
Well, here's the thing, and again, we're going back to Revelation. I corrected that for everyone I love. Right? See, but we have to receive it. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. And that's what is troubling a lot of us, and me, and many people in their hearts, is the indifference. Okay? We're trying to go back and forth, say the hokey pokey, one foot in, one foot out. God ain't about that. He said he'll spit you out of his mouth if you're indifferent. We need to get, and I pray right now the Lord will take away my indifference. I pray that everyone hearing his voice, the Lord will bless them and give them a fullness in their heart, clean out the indifference, because we're teetering back and forth. We can't do this. Jesus didn't teeter back and forth. He didn't play the hokey pokey when he's carrying the cross. He said, I'm going. There was no doubt in his mind. He knew what he was sent for. And again, he wants to correct us and discipline us and show us his ways. But we have to receive it. See, the greatest are out of all this stuff here for us, because we control the receiving part and the response part. We have absolute authority in that regard. The reason we had nothing to do with, the response we have something to do with, the ransom we had nothing to do with, so get your hands off it. And the reward, we got nothing to do with it. But if you don't know how to receive and respond, you're never going to get the reward. So here it is. Grace. Peace and grace be multiplied onto you. All right? So everyone in the Gospels, not the Gospels, the letters, Paul opens up, you know, may there be grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus. There's something to this grace, okay? We need to know that grace is everything. It's everything. It's everything that we're walking in. It's everything that all the abundance. You know, people want blessings, but they don't understand grace.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the definitions of grace is unmerited favor.
Yeah.
And we just talked about how atonement is restoration through divine favor. He's bringing us back into favor. We can have favor with God. And when you have favor with God, you have favor with man.
Negotiating with God and surrender. All right? And that's what it is. It starts there. Then believe it or not, he puts the desires in your heart. Then all of a sudden you start to realize you're getting the things you wanted. You know why? Because he put those desires in your heart. And that's the thing. So until we let God put his desires into our heart, give us that clean heart, then we're going to always try to negotiate. But then all of a sudden when we agree with God, because how can two walk together unless agreed? We submit to God. He comes and cleans our heart out. He gives us these desires that he's willing to back up and bless you with it. So here it is. Yet to all who did receive him and to those who believed in his name, he gave the right. That word right, Greek, is exousia. It is the authority of God. It's the right, the authority to use his power. He gave us the right to become children of God.
Hallelujah.
All right? And it's not because we're going to heaven and gold paint sheets, because we get reconciled back to our Father.
Hallelujah.
All right? So we're not born of human flesh or human desire. We're born of God.
And Jesus said to us,
we are redeemed. God set me free. All right. I don't know about you. You're the singer, not me. But let's just call out on people today, right now. If you're listening, you're hearing this voice, you're seeing our faces, you're listening to us on live radio. God died, sent his son, so we can partake. We have the right to participate in grace. Grace. And we want to thank you, live radio listeners. And if you hear this message today, it's not by accident. Today's the day that the Lord has made. So we shall rejoice. It's the day of redemption. The time is now. Come on, Bobby.
You know, the time, you know, we're talking about the time in Galatians chapter 4. The Bible says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born of the law, to redeem those who were born of the law, that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. Blog radio,
just
call out on the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved.
That's right. In Jesus' name, yes. And again, we want to thank the studio at the Mansions.
Yes.
If you're a local here in the Fort Worth, Pantego Bay, Dallas area, come on in. All right? What is the address here again? 2700 West Park Road Drive. Woo, fancy. West Park Road Drive. So come on in and, you know, talk to us. And, you know, like I said, with your nails done, your hair, whatever. If you're interested, come to the House of Glory. There's the same facility here. Pastor Marlo, Sunday morning, 10 a.m., a must, you know, must see situation. Come in and worship the Lord. We also part of Crosswalk Church. What is it?
2701?
26 City. Welcome City. Thank you for listening to Blog Radio. We love you. And we
God bless y'all.
God willing, we'll speak to you next week. Thank you, Jesus. Facebook, thank you for watching today.